Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I am joined by Justin, who is the co-founder and CEO of Asset Mule. Justin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, happy to be here. I'm a big fan of ABM, of Scrappy ABM, of you. So it's an honor to be here.
Feeling is very mutual. So I'll go ahead and just outline very quickly. This episode, we're going to be focused super, super heavily on some of the use cases of Asset Mule that Asset Mule's customers have started to use. In case you're like, Mason, normally we don't dig super deep into specific technologies and tooling. We typically talk through frameworks. I hear you. Justin, what is the starting price for someone to actually access Asset Mule?
It's free. So we have a free forever tier that allows you to get started building assets. And I can talk a little bit more about what that means. And then, you know, the first paid option is $50 a month. So we definitely fit into that scrappy category. And we have a lot of really forward-thinking, innovative, scrappy marketers that have been using our product. So I thought it'd be cool to share the way that they're using it, specifically as it relates to ABM.
Heck yeah. So again, if you guys are super stressed about, oh my goodness, Mason's recommending a tool, it's free. So like, pre-scrapping. So hopefully that's helpful. And you can learn a couple of new tools and plays that we'll walk through today on specifically how Asset Mule customers are using Asset Mule right now. So that you can not just get a free tool that you probably don't ever use, because I don't know about you, I've signed up for so many free trials I never end up doing anything with, but hopefully a couple things you can actually run away with. So that said, Justin, give us a high level overview. Like, what is Asset Mule?
Yeah. So Asset Mule is a product that was built to solve my own pain points that I experienced. So my background, I started as an early stage sales guy, first sales hire at a 13 person startup, creating my own sales assets. And then I made the transition over to product marketing as we raised our Series B and we started building out our sales team, and always struggled with creating all the sales assets that my sales team needed, from one pagers, decks, case studies, competitive pages, without any design support. And, you know, knowing, being a salesperson, I also know the importance and the impact of personalization and making sure that all the assets that you're sharing tell the story that your buyers, you know, talk to the pain points that they're looking to solve. So part of the idea with Asset Mule is to make it so that a solo marketer like myself in the past can spin these up really quickly, and salespeople can actually personalize those assets for each prospect, you know, while staying on message and on brand, which is obviously a priority for marketers, and to make these assets trackable as well. So we're going beyond the static generic PDFs of yesteryear. And these are web-based assets that include things like videos and interactive demos and calendars embedded in them, so that they're really optimized for engagement and conversion. And you can track, you know, intent really any step of the way.
Very cool. So again, what I'm hearing is marketing can go in, create standard templates for different assets that would be used. Like, here's a case study, here is a one pager, here is a demo experience. And then sales can go in, personalize that to the individual account that they're trying to send it to. And then all of it is tracked within a CRM. Did I hear that all correctly?
That's correct. And the other piece to it is, we're really big believers that, you know, sales assets should be used across the buyer's journey, right? So there are different assets that you use at different touch points, from the awareness stage where maybe you're sending one pagers, and then, you know, the consideration stage where now it's about social proof and case studies, or, you know, competitive differentiation and competitive pages, all the way through proposals and even post-sale onboarding plans, QBRs, and so on. So we also make it really easy for you to organize your sales assets by the different stages of the buyer's journey, so that your sales team knows which assets to use when, and they're providing buyers the information they need to move to the next stage, really removing friction in the process. And ultimately, the goal here is to speed up sales cycles and win more deals. So that's the idea here.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, if anybody's listening for any length of time, we talk a lot about the idea of an account progression model. It sounds like you're actually, within Asset Mule,
specifically aligning content to different stages of a buyer's journey. So people can just like log in and say like, oh, I need this kind of content for this stage to answer this question. Awesome. I know where to go look for that content. Because one of the other challenges is like, I mean, even I make all of our content. So like, I don't even that much from a use case perspective, but like, I still am struggling to keep track of all the content that we've created. Cause I'll get questions from our team of like, hey, do we have any answers to this? I'm like, oh, I think. So yeah, it sounds like it's also just really helpful from an organization perspective on like where content lives so that it's easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were exploring the idea of Asset Mule and we were doing customer discovery, we came across a report from Forrester that said that 65% of sales assets are actually never used. And the two main reasons are, number one, the sales team doesn't know where to find them or that they even exist. So discoverability of sales assets is a big problem out there. But the other piece was that the sales team felt that the assets that they had access to weren't relevant for their specific buyers, right? So we're really tackling both of those problems by making it so that these assets can be personalized, but also that they're easily discoverable and they're aligned with the buyer's journey, the sales process. So everybody knows where they are and when to use them.
I love it. Okay. So as you then think through how some of your customers are currently using Asset Mule, like what are the most common use cases for Asset Mule as a tool?
Yeah. So, standard sales assets is definitely a primary use case. So as I mentioned, the one pagers, the decks, the case studies, and so on. But a really interesting use case started to emerge probably second half of last year that really caught our attention and was not something that we had planned, but really made sense once we started seeing it. And that's ABM landing pages. So in essence, these assets that we create in Asset Mule, as I mentioned, they're not your PDFs, right? They are actually technically web pages. They're micro sites. Some people call them landing pages. So we started seeing our customers use the product to actually build personalized landing pages for each one of their target accounts. And the idea is, you know, you have this page, you can quickly and easily pull in a logo for one of your target accounts, maybe drop in a nice welcome message video that makes them feel like they arrived home and this is, you know, built for them. And then go into those key points of the problem that you solve, the solution that you have to solve those problems, even embedding things like demo videos or interactive demos on these pages, you know, linking to case studies and having customer quotes all the way through to a calendar at the bottom to book a meeting, right? So really focused on targeting these accounts, engaging them and converting them into booked meetings. And our customers, these are mostly product marketers or marketing generalists. They were sort of using these assets in two different ways. One was to target ads to these pages. And I think in your framework, you call this, I think it's one of your D's, right? The destination, right? So this is the destination where you target these ads to with the goal of converting meetings for your sales team. But in parallel, they also started putting them in the hands of their SDRs that were doing outreach into these accounts. And again, with the same goal of engaging these accounts and converting booked meetings. So it was really interesting that we started seeing this and we started seeing a lot of success. You know, our customers were talking about the conversion rates that they were getting from this strategy. And so much so that we actually made a template in our system that anybody can easily spin up one of these ABM landing pages. So that's definitely one of the most interesting, exciting, and emerging use cases that we've seen as of late.
So when we talk about customization, depending on who you talk to, that's 1,000 different things. And like, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but like when I was building our first ABM programs or my first ABM program, I did customize landing pages, but I would literally like go in like HubSpot landing pages and I would clone each page and then I'd change out the video and I'd personally like go in and change out the logos. It's a very manual process. So when we talk about customization in Asset Mule, like what does that functionally mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So we developed this concept within our system that we call snippets. And snippets are basically blocks of content. So to go back to your example, they can be logos, they can be videos, they can be quotes, they can be stats, but they can be even be like problem statements or solution statements, and even into interactive things like interactive demos and so on. So when it comes to our system, you've got this template that the marketer will probably create in terms of the standard ABM landing page, right? Where different pieces of the puzzle go. And they'll put initial content in there, you know, the videos and the quotes and so on. But then these blocks can, these snippets can easily be swapped in and out based on that particular account. So, you know, if you're going after a set of accounts in different industries, you may want to swap in different quotes or different logo, customer logo grid strings, right, based on the industry. Or if you're going after accounts in one industry, but you're going after different levels, right, a practitioner versus a program owner versus an executive sponsor, again, you may want to swap out different quotes or different value statements or even different stats based on what will resonate with that that specific persona. So we make it really easy to personalize on the fly by basically pulling from this library and swapping them in and out. And obviously these blocks of content, these snippets can also be tagged by those elements, right? So, you know, the different personas in the different industries to make it really easy to find and swap in the right elements. So that landing page tells the story of the person on the other side, right? And I'll say, yeah. You know, there's two things that I like to focus on when it comes to personalization. There's personalization, which is, again, the logos, having the company name in there, the right content, but there's also humanization, right? And one thing that we've really seen that drives a lot of impact and value is having personalized videos in there. So one of our customers on these ABM landing pages, they actually have a welcome message from the salesperson that owns that account, specifically saying, hey, account XYZ, you know, welcome to your page. I've curated some information here. I think we can really help you for, you know, ABC use case. Take a look. Let me know if you have any questions. And at the bottom of the page is my calendar where you can book some time to learn more. So there's also that human element beyond just personalization that I think really, you know, takes it to another level in terms of impact.
Makes a ton of sense. So what I'm hearing is, like, essentially on the front end, you determine, and I want to make it really tactical for a moment. So marketing is going in, loading in a ton of assets to a library, and then sales is going in and saying, okay, I've got this library of different assets that I can load in for my landing page. And essentially I've heard it referred to when you're doing like a website builder to some extent, like these really great website themes, they have like all these building blocks. So it's just Legos. Like you just stack your Legos together to build something. And it sounds like Asset Mule is essentially letting marketers give your sales teams all the Lego blocks to kind of mix and match this curated experience for the target accounts. Am I understanding all that correctly?
You're spot on, even to the analogy. Like, it's so funny. When we started building this thing, one of the first things we thought of was like, wow, these things are kind of like Lego blocks, right? And we even thought about, and we haven't done it yet, but we may do it now because you sort of naturally hit on that, is making, you know, the icon for snippets in our product, a Lego block, right? Because that's exactly what they are, right? The customer quotes, the videos, the product images, the stats, these are all Lego blocks and they can be assembled from the get-go, but then the salesperson can swap in the appropriate pieces to make it really hit home for their buyers. So the idea here is, again, to make it quick and easy for the salesperson, because we know salespeople are super busy. They don't want to spend a ton of time building assets from scratch. So that's where the templates come into play. But also, we know that need for personalization. We know the impact it has. So make that at a, you know, an arm's reach that they can just swap in the right pieces, the right Lego blocks to really resonate with that buyer.
So as you're then thinking about like how we measure the success, because I want to be like, forgive me for saying it this way, but like learning into tool always comes with a learning curve. And then like, even though I know Asset Mule is not super crazy difficult to learn in the grand scheme, like you guys have made it pretty easy to get started, still, like there's a learning curve. It's setting everything up and integrating all these things. Like it's not always a light lift. It's always easier to do nothing than to do something. So like,
yeah, for sure.
As we think about how we then validate and measure success, like what are some of the success stories you guys have been able to see for some of your customers that have used Asset Mule?
Yeah. So I think of measurement in a couple of different ways, right? And I like to actually think of three levels of measurement when it comes to sales assets in general, but this is also specific to Asset Mule. So the first is usage, right? Now, if a marketer is just setting up an ABM landing page and there's no need for the sales team to do outreach and send that, they're just driving ads to it, maybe that's less so an issue. But if you are creating those assets to put in the hands of the sales team, and you're creating other assets as well, like one pagers and case studies and so on, you want to make sure that your sales team is actually using those assets, right? And if not, you want to understand why, right? And what you can do to improve those assets so that they're more relevant and more usable for the sales team. So that's the high level, like first layer that I would lay out there. The second is buyer engagement. So as the sales team is sending these over to the buyers, you want to make sure that buyers are actually engaging with these pages and that it's resonating with them, right? So it's not just, are they viewing these pages, but are they interacting with the content on these pages? And again, because these are interactive assets that include videos and interactive demos and links to other assets, it becomes really easy to actually track these things. You can see if they watched your video, you can see if they clicked through the demo, if there's an ROI calculator in there, did they play around with the ROI calculator? So it can give you some really interesting insights and give you those intent signals that actually, yeah, they're actually engaging with these assets. It's resonating with them. And the final layer, and I would say the most important, is starting to tie this to real sales and business metrics, right? You know, are we impacting our win rate? Are we reducing our sales cycle by having these assets as a tool in the process, right? Are we generating pipeline if we're using these for outbound or for ABM landing pages? Are we booking meetings? And ultimately, are we closing deals and what sort of revenue are we driving? So there's different ways depending on the type of asset that you're thinking about here. There's different metrics that you might be looking at. For an ABM landing page, it might be booked meetings is kind of the core metric that turns into pipeline and ultimately, you know, revenue. For say a competitive page, it might be something like a competitive win rate, right? Like, are we enabling our sales team to appropriately differentiate from that competitor? And as a result, they're winning more deals against that competitor. But at a very high level, I would say those three layers from usage to engagement all the way through to business impact are the ways that I think about it.
Very cool. Last, really two basic questions would just be, like, as you're thinking about roadblocks to implementing something like Asset Mule, like, again, as I just outlined, it's always easier to do nothing than to do something. So, like, there's always the just overcoming, like, I got to do something. And then also, like, once I've done something as a marketer, I got to, like, teach and train my sales team how to use this thing. So, like, those are some fairly standard roadblocks that are going to happen with any new process change or tool or, like, honestly, anything in the ABM world, you're going to experience that set of problems. But I'm curious, like, any other common challenges that you've seen within your customer base that you've helped them overcome?
Yeah, I think it's actually the one that you just hit the nail on the head, which is sales adoption, right? Sales is notorious for being super busy, super focused on their number, which they should be, right? And adopting a tool, a new tool, really needs to have an impact on that end goal of closing more deals for them to pay attention and for them to fully embrace it, right? So the way that we've approached this challenge, and this is something we've been thinking about since the beginning, because both myself and one of my co-founders, George, we come from a sales background, so we know this world, but also just through customer discovery, it's the thing that we heard over and over again is from product marketers is how do we get sales to embrace this thing? So there's two ways that I've seen be successful. One is the ABM landing page is actually a really great starting point and opportunity because you can actually implement it without needing the sales team to adopt it, right? You can set up an ABM landing page. You can start targeting some ads, targeted ads to that page, and actually start booking some meetings for your salespeople. And once they start seeing those meetings flow in and you show them where those leads came from in this asset and sort of use it as an opportunity to say, hey, actually, like, you can do more than ABM landing pages. You can do all these personalized assets that you can use throughout your sales process. It clicks for them, right? They've already seen the value without putting any effort in, and now they're ready to adopt it. So that's one way that I've seen folks successfully activate the sales team without needing to onboard them at the beginning. The second way is if you are interested in actually getting sales involved from the beginning. So in addition to those ads, you want to put it in the hands of some sales folks. What I recommend is usually starting with just one or two or three, just a small group of salespeople, maybe starting with an SDR, because these are young, hungry, impressionable, young professionals. And, you know, they're the ones that are trying to look for that every little bit of advantage that they can get to get that extra meeting, right? They're hungry for it. So start with them. Think about the ones that have shown a track record of trying new things and being creative and wanting to be on the edge of innovation and pilot it with them, right? Work with them to build the assets that they need, put in their hands, work with them to prove success. And once that SDR is starting to book more meetings than the rest, guess what? The rest of the SDRs are going to be on board. Once the SDRs are booking meetings, the AEs are going to be on board to this, to starting to use it. It's all about showing initial success, and then everybody wants to adopt it. So those are the two ways that I would, I'd recommend approaching that challenge.
Most underutilized approaches of just starting really, really small, making a full, like a small group of people really, really successful, and then kind of making everyone else jealous. Because when we talk with a lot of people about building an ABM program or kind of the rollout process, they're like, we should roll out to everybody all at once. And it's like, no, because that's a lot of people to train. And then I'm sure you guys experience this again with any new tool. Like, you have a first version of how you plan to use the tool and the process around that. And then you do it. And then like, there's a bunch of broken things in the process, not necessarily the tool, but just like the utilization process. So you have to like overhaul the process. And like, if you did a massive rollout to everybody, and then you recognize there's a couple of things that are bumpy in the process, you have to re-roll out the process. And then you do that 3-4 times. People are like, we have no idea what we're doing as an organization. Everything is on fire and we're all burning. So like, let's just not adopt any of it. And let's get back to what always worked. And like, I just think starting super small with anything ABM related, making a few people massively successful, to everybody else like, well, what the heck? Why did I get help with this thing? And you're like, well, you can get it now. And then that you actually have like an internal case study to showcase the impact. And like, if people are still hesitant to this approach, I have many ABM friends that refer to this as like, you have an experiment group and a control group, and your control group are typically people that wouldn't have bought in anyway. Just let them be the control. And then your experiment group are people that are young, hungry, and want to make more money. And those are your typically younger SDRs. So I love that approach. And like, it aligns up with everything else that we've seen for how to actually roll out an ABM program in the first place. So yeah, very cool.
And shout out to your COO, Greg, who was previously at Parsable. He was a Asset Mule user. That's the approach that they took. And it actually was like, for, they were one of our, you know, early design partners. And for me, it was like a light bulb moment, is like, we should onboard all of our customers this way, because they started with one SDR, one template, going after it. And that SDR ended up getting a 33% conversion rate to book meetings. So they were essentially booking 1 in 3 meetings using that asset. Now, to your point, there was some iteration in the process. It wasn't 33% out of the gate. You know, it was probably lower. Then they started adding interactive demos and videos. They started testing some things, but they got that SDR to a point where they were booking 1 in 3 meetings using this asset. And when they presented that to the rest of the SDR team and the sales team during a QBR, everybody was like, how do I get a piece of this? How do I start using this? And the activation, the onboarding, the enablement challenge that we know is so common with salespeople was not an issue at all. So shout out to him for helping me see the light on that front too.
Yeah, I was about to say, unsurprisingly, Greg, super smart. For anyone that doesn't know Greg Toler, go follow him on LinkedIn. Does some pretty cool stuff. Anyway, all that to say, Justin, last question for you is just like general advice. Because I mean, obviously, We talked about this before press record. Like, Asset Mule is not currently running an ABM program because you're early stage organization, like PLG motion right now. Like, ABM does not make sense for you in your current context. But you've run ABM at past organizations. You work with a lot of clients that are running ABM programs. Like, any parting wisdom for somebody that's trying to get this thing off the ground for the first time?
Yeah, I think my learning, so I was at a previous company called Tracker, and we decided to go all in on the ABM. And I think my learning, there were two key learnings. One was niche down even further than you think. So I remember when we first went about it, we were an influencer marketing platform. We were selling to everybody. And we were like, okay, we're going to take an ABM approach, right? And we started with a list of like 5 different industries: beauty, fashion, you know, auto, you know, tech, right? And then, you know, saw better results, but not the type of results that we were looking for. So we niched down even further to 3 industries: beauty, fashion, and tech, right? Again, saw better results, but really wanted to take it further. And we niched down even further just to beauty, right? And that's really where we started seeing the impact. So I think, you know, It's a little scary, right? Like to say no to opportunities, right, on paper, but really focusing in on that core customer where you can clearly see in the numbers, and this was the case with us in beauty, you know, our leads that were coming in, that were converting to book meetings and then converting to deals and pipeline and ultimately buying from us and then upgrading, were really in that core segment. So really leaning in to that niche and then expanding out versus like making the mistake that I made, which was starting too wide and having to niche down multiple times before we finally saw the light. So that's one piece that I would say. And then on the other side, you know, it's everything that you guys stand for, I truly believe in, which is it doesn't need to be this massive, expensive, you know, program. You can start really, really small and essentially with blood, sweat, and tears versus so many dollars. And not only is that possible, but it's probably the best way because you learn a lot in that process. You learn what works before you start putting that fuel on the fire that might be add dollars or tools to scale, right? So I think a lot of people, when they think ABM, they're like, okay, let's get the tools together and let's like start implementing it. And they buy this, and this instead of starting manually and really thinking about the strategy, the tactics, the metrics, proving it out, and then thinking about, okay, how do we bring in the tools? How do we bring in the dollars to start scaling this? So those are my two learnings, I think, both from my own experience, but also seeing how my customers are approaching ABM now.
I love it. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining the show today and walking us through how people are using Asset Mule and just some really practical tips on personalization using content assets. If people want to find out more about you and Asset Mule, where would you point them?
Yeah. So, you know, follow me on LinkedIn, follow Asset Mule on LinkedIn. We, you know, we do all the build and public stuff. We're really keen learners ourselves. So we're going out there talking to tons of product marketers, tons of sales teams, really trying to learn this craft along with our customers. So follow us there. And then if you want to learn more about Asset Mule, go to assetmule.ai. As I mentioned, you can sign up for free. We have a bunch of templates that will help you get started in minutes. And, you know, shoot me a note, give me some feedback. I always love improving our product and building out new features and exploring new use cases like the ABM one. So send me a DM once you poke around and I'd love to hear from you.
I love it. Well, again, Justin, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM and we will see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.